truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
No, I'm an American. I'm an American and a pro-American all the way. The Arabs, the Camel Dome Shovelers.
Why did we buy Alaska in the 1950s?
Just wanted to bring back what Bobby and Jack had given us. Well,
just a few days ago, Neil, this gentleman, this head of state who took power in 40 years
bring
ago.
Out by the hull.
Things are bad.
Oh, yeah. World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We broadcast from the El Pacifico out here. We got our backs to the Pacific Ocean, but we've got your backs. How's that one?
Yeah, it's all right.
Anyway, welcome to the program. This is the only news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about anywhere in the world. Anywhere in the world at any given time. We're not tied to any jive political philosophy because we don't have the editorial board there standing over our heads and saying, well, today you must be conservative because, you know, that's how, or tomorrow you should be a liberal because this is how we want to do this. And, you know, the same dance. It's just it's the same malodorous hefty bag of dung. It's just a different day, man. Well, over here on the old Phil Henry Show, man, you can get a little bit of a taste of what's real and not what is part of the carnival. The carnival of misinformation and disinformation. It ain't anything more. It's nothing more nefarious than people have got to make a living. And so when you are a part of a large broadcast entity like a CNN or a Fox or a New York Times or an LA Times or a Newsweek or a Time, you got to make a dollar, okay? And if the truth is sacrificed, that's okay. I don't mind that at all. I'm just here to tell you where it am at, okay? Let's talk, for instance, and coming up this hour, by the way, we have the story of a Muslim woman who was told to remove her scarf by a Michigan judge. She sued the judge because she's a Muslim and she gets to wear the scarf. Now, I thought we had a separation of church and state in this country, and when your religion interferes with the commerce and business of our country, well, guess what? Your religion loses, and that includes Muslims. So get with it. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. All right. Teddy Kennedy, we're into the 24th hour of solid wall-to-wall coverage on CNN concerning Senator Kennedy. I understand that he was a hard-charging, a tough fighter. He stood up for people. Good man. You're going to hear in the program tonight, you're going to hear one of our favorite people, Chris Punkface Matthews, talking about Teddy Kennedy as being a part of this legacy of wonderfulness that has been rounded off by President Obama. I think if I were President Obama, I would be a little insulted. Honest to God, because he calls Obama the fourth brother. Well, there were five, actually, Chris. One of them died in World War II. He was flying an aircraft fighting Nazis, and maybe that doesn't count in your book. And if you think I'm being really petty with Chris Matthews, I'm not, because that jackass, I wouldn't know what that guy believes from one day to the next, okay? But anyway, here's the point. When I was a kid, John Kennedy was president. As I got older and he was assassinated and the country went through the trauma of that and I got into high school, Robert Kennedy became very popular. Robert Kennedy was four square against the war in Vietnam. He came a little late to that dance. There were other senators that had more courage, I think, earlier on than Robert Kennedy. Eugene McCarthy of Minnesota, who spoke out against the war in Vietnam. Paul McCloskey, who was a Republican, believe it or not, who spoke out against the war in Vietnam. But it was Robert Kennedy who really coalesced those forces and brought everything together and kind of cemented all the factions. And people were united. They felt he had the best shot to become the Democratic nominee for the presidency of the United States. And indeed, he had won the California primary on that night. That was the night that Sirhan shot him and killed him. With those Kennedy brothers, John and Robert Kennedy, gone, two very historic figures. John Kennedy was president and was there at the birth of America's legal recognition of the civil rights of African Americans with the civil rights legislation, and Robert Kennedy as the attorney general attacking the mafia, the organized crime. You know, I know we like Godfather movies, but I don't think we like paying more for what we buy. And one of the reasons why we paid more for what we bought for many years was because of the organized Italian-American crime families in this country, otherwise known as the Mafia, or if you've watched The Sopranos or read the Valachi papers, La Cosa Nostra. See?
Or this thing, the thing what we have.
Yeah, or the thing what we have, as Bud would put it. So,
no, that's what it's called.
It ain't the thing what we have.
Yeah, well, it's like this thing that I've got.
It ain't the thing I got. They say it's this thing of ours.
Yeah, that's it.
Thank you. I'm so happy that you guys cleared that up for me.
Yeah, I knew it was like I got something, you know, something that I have.
But what do you think, the guy's got a cold?
No, I don't think it's a cold.
Well, what do you mean the thing that I got? It's the thing of ours.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Thank you. Can I go on now?
Please.
Thank you very much. So, anyway, Robert Kennedy, John Kennedy. Now along came Teddy Kennedy. He was the kid brother. He was a little 14, 15-year-old, 13-year-old kid during World War II, so he didn't fly off and become a war hero like his older brother Joe. He wasn't old enough to become president. He wasn't quite dynamic enough to be noticed by his older brother John to be appointed the Attorney General of the United States or the Secretary of something or other. He was just Teddy Kennedy. He was the kid brother, and he became the senator from Massachusetts. Now, by virtue of the fact that his brothers were murdered before his very eyes, I forgive a lot of the things that Teddy Kennedy did. You know, his drinking was legendary. That whole thing with William Kennedy Smith and the mansion down there and the girl that was assaulted, and he was there on site. I'm not blaming the guy. I mean, he was out. He was having a couple of belts. That's life, you know. Hell, I'd be drinking like a fish, too, if my brothers were murdered in front of me. Not one, but two. And then I lost an older brother. I'd think that there was a little bit of a curse, too. That'd drive me to a bottle. But nonetheless, Teddy Kennedy was a respected member of Congress because he was in Congress and in the United States Senate for a long, long time. But I am here to tell you, folks, because there's a lot of you who are listening who aren't old enough to remember the days of John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy. Teddy Kennedy was, I'm telling you, and even Matthews would have to admit it if he was sitting here, Teddy Kennedy was a joke. He was a little bit of a joke. He was a kid brother that nobody expected anything from. Now, his brothers die, and the Chappaquiddick thing happens. Now, people leaned on that for years. And as I got older and I educated myself as to the facts of this event, where Senator Kennedy was coming home from a party, he had a young lady with him by the name of Mary Jo Kopechne. The car went off a bridge. The car sunk in water that flooded the interior of the automobile. Miss Kopechne was killed in the accident. Edward Kennedy found his way out of the car, got up onto the road, walked home, called police the next morning. It was a very, very suspicious and tawdry affair. It was nothing to be proud of. I'm sure nothing that he, even if he was telling the truth, which was that he was in shock and he went home and then he called the police and he was just completely out of his mind with fear and shock. I mean, even if that's true, it does not reflect very well on a person's character or one's ability to function in an emergency. If nothing else, I sure as hell wouldn't want the guy as president of the United States, would you? But people wanted him to be president. And that's where my story has a little bit of a twist. I am not a Kennedy hater. I admired President Kennedy and Robert Kennedy, and I admired Teddy Kennedy. And I think that family is an interesting family, a very interesting slice of American political life and American life in general. They are, as many have said, perhaps a type of American royalty. And I don't have a real problem with the family. They did great things, and as every family would, they did some things they're probably not proud of. But here's what I want you to know. The story of Teddy Kennedy.
You almost said Kennedy, Kennedy.
Did I really?
Yeah.
So?
Well, you almost made a mistake.
I almost made a mistake. If I'd made the mistake, then you could have corrected me.
If you said Kennedy Kennedy, then I would have.
Well, I didn't say Teddy Kennedy. I said Teddy Kennedy, and you still butted in, didn't you?
Yeah, man, he didn't say nothing other than Teddy Kennedy.
I didn't say Teddy. Will you guys shut up for 5 seconds?
That's what I almost heard.
Very good, man. Write it down. Teddy Kennedy, in the 1970s, following all of the embarrassment of Chappaquiddick, following the horror and tragedy of his brother Robert's death, following the horror and the tragedy of his brother John's death, Teddy Kennedy became the lone surviving Kennedy son. And as such, And as I say, this is where the story begins to kind of shift a little bit. As such, became the heir apparent. He was expected, even if he didn't want to, expected to lead in a vigorous way, lead in a forceful way, lead in a dynamic way. He was expected to be a Kennedy. And what was a Kennedy? I'll tell you what a Kennedy was. John Kennedy. Didn't matter whether he was thought it was Teddy Kennedy or if he thought it was Robert Kennedy. What was a Kennedy? John Kennedy, the martyred American president, John. And then in 1980, when he couldn't stand it any longer, with people breathing down his neck, breathing all that clam sauce all over him, he decided, all right, okay, I'll run for president. You want me to go through a final humiliation, I'll do that. And that's exactly what it turned out to be. Not only did he not get the nomination, people couldn't have cared less about Edward Kennedy in 1980. They didn't want to see hide nor hair of the guy. The Democratic Party didn't want him in the race because the guy was damaged goods. If nothing else, if for no other reason than the Chappaquiddick incident was sure to be brought up by Reagan and the Republicans. They didn't need that kind of grief. They didn't need that kind of heartache, man. They had an incumbent president, Jimmy Carter, but it goes to show that Ted Kennedy felt Jimmy Carter was about as electable as, Adolf Hitler. So he got into the race, and it was an embarrassing event for him. No one cared. He was gone. Goodbye. Hello, Jimmy Carter. And as the years rolled on, Ted Kennedy did the only thing left that he could do, and that was to be a fighter in the United States Senate. And that's what he did. And he should be honored for that by the people of Massachusetts, by the people of America as an example of a patriotic service to one's country. God bless him. But folks, the man was not Robert Kennedy. He was not John Kennedy. He wasn't even Dan Quayle. I'm joking.
Oh, man.
Well, I wanted to get in that whole, I knew John Kennedy, you know John. What I'm trying to say to you is the following. He is not a link in a chain. No. He's not some link in a chain that leads from John Kennedy to Barack Obama. No. No, he's not. If you want a link in that chain, there are other people that I could bring up for you. Right now, I can't think of them, but I'm sure one will come to mind. But Ted Kennedy ain't it. A hell of a great man as a senator and as a representative of the people, a fighter, all of those things I give you. The heir apparent to some majesty of legacy from John to Robert Kennedy? No. No. It's just not the case.
Why? Because he didn't get shot?
It's got nothing to do with him being shot. Let me tell you something, man. Those two guys, Robert and John Kennedy, have a place in the history books, not so much because they were assassinated, but because they were living in fascinating and dangerous times and were completely involved in those events and did, in fact, influence those events to some good outcome. Ted Kennedy, on the other hand, had to be a senator during the 1970s when the Democratic Party was destroying itself, and eventually that destruction was complete with the election of Ronald Reagan. Ted Kennedy was there in the 1980s when the Democratic Party couldn't do a thing. Couldn't do a thing because Ronald Reagan ran the roost, brother. Ted Kennedy finally got a little bit of sunshine blasted on his ass when Clinton became president, and the next thing you know, the Democrats were again. They were preeminent, but it was a long and torturous road and one that was not influenced anywhere near to the degree that it was by John Kennedy or Robert Kennedy. Ted Kennedy was a good man. He was not, if you're talking about John and Robert, a great man. And that's one man's opinion. And there's only one other thing that I might add to that, where I, maybe Ted Kennedy right now.
Things are bad.
All right, a Muslim woman sues a judge for making her remove her hijab, plus the world according to, with Lloyd Bonafide coming up, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Bring out the Hulk.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
You know, I was talking about Chris Matthews on MSNBC. You know, we just like to talk about him here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We like to talk about Chris and anybody else that's kind of fun to talk about because he's such a little – he's a turd with a pretty decent haircut, you know, as far as I'm concerned. He's not even – he's okay. I like Chris a lot, but he's a turd. So anyway, here he is as he this is the reason why I went to the whole rap about Ted Kennedy, because it's 24 hours of solid coverage of Ted Kennedy. You know the only reason why they're covering Ted Kennedy is because his last name is Kennedy. If that makes me sound like some right-winger, I'm afraid that it does, but that's the truth, Ruth. I ain't here because I'm a dyed-in-the-wool conservative. I'm here because I want to tell you what's happening. I lived it, man. I was there. I remember when Ted Kennedy was rehabilitated and they made him the heir apparent because Robert Kennedy, who was a hell of a dynamic man, and John Kennedy, the same thing, they were gone. So anyway, here's Matthews.
Just wanted to bring back what Bobby and Jack had given us.
Oh, my God. It makes you... Okay, anyway.
Just wanted to bring back what Bobby and Jack had given us.
Well, he
wanted to be his brother's brother. And then he turned that torch over last year to Barack Obama. The Kennedy commitment to civil rights was almost accidental. It began because of history, 63, Martin Luther King's March. By Bobby, it became passion. By Teddy, it became real. And then Teddy turns it over to the first African-American and says, you got the ball. Amazing history. Barack's now the last brother.
Barack's now the last brother. That's what I got to say about that. I mean, if I were Barack Obama, a president that I support, I'd be insulted, personally.
Oh, I see. So I'm kind of in line.
Well, that's what I want you to be. Is it the last brother?
And I'm telling, who was the woman that was trying to get a word in here?
Just wanted to bring back what Bobby and Jack had given us.
Well,
he wanted to be his
brother's
brother.
Yeah, just shut up,
baby. And then he turned that torch over last year to Barack Obama. The Kennedy commitment to civil rights was almost accidental.
By the way, Chris is coming on. I think they're going to have him two times a day on MSNBC.
Things are bad.
So it's, boy, at least he didn't say.
Right. I felt this thrill going up my leg.
Well, he might as well have said it, though. Everything with you, Matthews, there's something going up your leg. Everything with you is an epiphany. It's a sexual thrill. There's something that's titillating you, not just intellectually, but there's a physical stimulus going on, something that is affecting regions of your body that we'd rather not even think about, let alone acknowledge as existing. All right, let's go to a phone call here we have on the line. Tim in Atlanta. Tim, you're on the Phil Henry Show. What's on your mind tonight, man?
Oh, I just wanted to express my admiration for your show. This is my first time listening to this, and
well, thanks.
I really appreciate you delivering the right message to people. And I have a question about the government's role and what our communities can do in order to raise the awareness of local people and their understanding of the world and Islam in particular, since I'm a Muslim.
Uh-huh.
And what can they do in order to make their education and understanding of people. I mean, we have all same background, and we as people need to understand each other. And
I understand. I think you're not going to like this answer, maybe, Tim. I don't know, but what I feel is necessary for all religion. See, you're telling me about your religion. You're not necessarily telling me about your nationality or your national origin. You're an American now, I assume. But you are talking to me about your religion, and this is where it's actually in reverse. Anybody who is a believer in any religion and is a practicing one with faith in this country, whether you're Christian or Muslim, they are the ones who need to make us all aware of their practices and their needs and their beliefs so that we better understand what the religion is about. What the problem comes into play when religion, without any explanation, without telling us exactly what the origination of this belief is or why we should think it's important, religion asserts its so-called rights into areas that we in our country have separated from religion. The separation of church and state, I know you've heard of, and that means, for instance, you don't have Jesus in a city square hanging from a cross on Christmas. You don't put the Star of David up, and you don't wear a hijab into a courtroom when the court says you're not allowed to wear that. It doesn't make any difference if it is your religion or not. You are not allowed to wear that religious symbol in a building that is a public building conducting the public's business. And that's where, first and foremost, anybody, not just Muslims, anybody that practices a religion, that's where they need to be educated. Now, what government can do on the other side of that is we can have comparative religion in schools. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. We can have an academic study of the origin of religion and the origins of the holy books of each religion. We can discuss these things in historical and philosophical terms, how they relate to society, not by way of religious indoctrination, by way of education. I think that's very important, and I would heartily encourage that. But I really feel people who practice religion have got the cart before the horse. You got to understand what country you live in, understand what the laws of the country are, how we separate religion from state, and where and when one can practice their religion and where their religion begins to infringe on the rights of others who do not practice that religion. A hajib in court, a Jesus hanging from the public square, a Star of David in the public square, these are all areas where we've defined as areas of state where religion has no place. I thank you very much for your call, Tim. We're going to get into that story, by the way, of the Muslim woman told to remove that scarf in Michigan. And here's the really crazy part. These Christians, they probably would concur with me on her removing the scarf, right? You ready for that?
Henry.
Lloyd Bonafide next.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Henry.
On the line with me is Lloyd Bonafide. Mr. Bonafide, a Korean War veteran, the owner of a heating and plumbing business in Alhambra, California, joins us to talk about the legacy of Teddy Kennedy and the destructive effects of this kind of a brain tumor, this kind of cancer that's just devastating. And Mr. Bonafide, I welcome you to the program, and I know that you're dealing with this in your own family.
Yes, sir. And thank you for having me on your program.
I appreciate you being with us. Tell me a little bit about what you are dealing with and how it relates perhaps to the terrible, terrible agony of the Kennedy family and certainly Senator Kennedy himself.
Phil, before I get into that, I wanted to just say to your listeners and to you that I was a great admirer of Senator Kennedy's, and I felt he was a fine man. I did not vote for, I was not a Democrat, but I'm very thankful for the service he did for this country. My wife, who I've been married to, and I've been married to my wife, Phil, for 57 years, and that's a long time to be with a woman.
Yes, it is.
And she has a brain tumor.
I'm very sorry to hear that, sir.
Well, you have to deal with it because we get older. And she's watching the television. I feel it's too loud.
No, it's fine.
It's difficult for me to turn the TV down, Marjorie. She watches the television, and she's watching it. She's watching the Rush Limbaugh on TV right now. But she has brain cancer. And I feel I wanted to speak to you about this.
Well, I can't imagine what you're going through, and I appreciate you being with us. What is it like? When did you first realize this?
I first realized it, Phil, when she began talking in an incomprehensible way I think anyone can tell you. Would you turn that down, Marjorie, please? My wife is in the room. She began to say things that were incomprehensible. She started to talk about the women getting the right to vote by being beaten and with broom handles. Would you turn that down?
Is that your wife with the TV?
Yes, it is. Turn it down.
Well, but she is sick.
No, I know she's sick, but there's nothing that says if you're sick, you can't turn a TV down. Turn it down. She started talking about the women's suffrage movement, and I said to her, where did that come from? And she said, and they're women, and they got beat up, and they got put into a jail cell, and they were beaten. And I said, where did that come from? And she went on And I had no understanding.
She was talking about women's suffrage.
Yes. The women that vote.
Well, yeah, a woman's right to vote, the suffrage movement.
Yes. Where did that come from? And I asked her where it came from, and I asked her where it came from. And all she could do...
Is she turning the TV up?
She's turning it up. You try to piss me off? You know, she has a brain tumor, and I understand that. Why are you trying to piss me off?
All right, Lloyd, why don't you ignore her or move into another room?
This is where the phone is. It's in my office. Are you trying to piss me off? She's not listening to me. She has a brain tumor. What can I tell you? And so I said that the idea that women got beat up, all the film footage, would you turn that...
Sir, if you want to do the interview, you're going to have to either move into another room.
Now, this is my office, and I'm trying to tell... Turn it down. Yeah, I know you got a brain tumor. Does that mean you get to do whatever you want to do?
Why is she in that room?
Because this is where the color TV is. We've got a black and white in the... I love my wife very much. But if she thinks that having a brain tumor means she gets to turn the TV up... Can you hear that?
I can hear it, but I can hear you fine. There's nothing really wrong with the reception that I'm getting from your end.
Well, I can't understand anything. Turn it down! You see, she's daring me to do something, and because she's got a brain tumor, she thinks she can do anything she wants.
Does the brain tumor affect her hearing?
No, it doesn't affect. You know how I know? Because I made her flapjacks this morning, and I barely whispered. I said, "Flapjacks are ready," and she came into the kitchen like somebody had rung a dinner bell. Didn't you? Didn't you?
Well, don't yell at her, man. I mean, if we're talking about the woman, she's sick. You're on this program to talk about Teddy Kennedy and what he went through.
I know I'm on the program, but does she get to... And so she started babbling about the women in the suffrage movement.
Now, you understand, because earlier in the program, I had said...
Well, hold on. Will you turn it? If you're going to blast it, put it on something good. Put it on something good if you're going to blast it.
I had mentioned on the show today, and there may be women aware of it, that today is the 89th anniversary of the...
Hold on for a minute. If you're going to have that thing turned up until I'm bleeding from the nose, will you please put it on something I want to watch? Please put it on something I want to watch. You see, she's playing the brain tumor for all it's worth. And I can only hope that Senator Kennedy didn't play the brain tumor for all it was worth.
All right, we don't need to talk about that. We're here to talk to you about what you know about this kind of brain tumor. Your wife has a brain tumor. Now, you're saying the only indication you had initially was that she was babbling, you say, quote, babbling on about the woman's suffrage movement.
Well, yeah, well, babbling on is putting it mildly. She wouldn't stop. About they got beat up and
but I told you that today is the anniversary of the women getting the right to vote.
What is that? I can't hear you because she's got that TV. Would you? She's got it on Jacques Cousteau. I knew it. They're doing reruns of the Jacques Cousteau show, and she puts it on there on purpose because she knows that I don't like looking at him because she had a thing for Jacques Cousteau for a long time. Turn the thing down. Don't put it on Cousteau. I beg you.
Hey, Lloyd, we're going to have to conclude this interview, man, if you can't get it under control there in your house. Okay?
Well, why does she have it on the... You see, you know I don't like Cousteau.
Look, at the suffrage movement culminated in 1920 on this day with a woman's right to vote.
All right, well, what about this stuff about women getting beat with broom handles?
Well, that happened. I mean, we actually talked about that on the show. That it actually happened in 1917 in a prison.
Oh, get out of here, will you? I've seen all the film footage and the documentary footage about the suffrage movement, and I never heard anything like that.
This is a story that this actually took place. I don't know if they had any filmed record of it, but it actually took place.
You're telling me that what she's telling me is it happened.
Yes, sir. Are you basing your belief that your wife has a brain tumor because she's talking about the suffrage movement?
I'm basing my belief that my wife has a brain tumor because she's talking garbage morning, noon, and night, never shuts up, and now she's got Jacques Cousteau on.
Well, if she's got Jacques Cousteau on and she knows that you don't like him, how crazy can she be?
I didn't say she was crazy.
Well, I mean, how damaged can her brain be?
Hey, do you have a brain tumor?
Well, now, wait a minute, okay?
Do you have hold on for a minute. Do you have a brain tumor, yes or no?
Hold on for a minute. I got to ask you something.
Wait, what do you want?
What do I want? You're on my program. You told me that your wife had a brain tumor. You were dealing with the same thing that the Kennedy family was dealing with. Now you're basing the fact that she has a brain tumor on some stuff she was saying about the suffrage movement and women getting beat up in 1917.
Well, doesn't that sound like crazy talk to you?
Not if it happened, and it did happen.
Hey, you. You got a... Hey! See, she's ignoring me. She thinks this is a hoot. And you want to know something? I think she planned the whole thing. I think she wanted to pretend like she had a brain. Damn her.
Did you talk to this guy?
Yeah, I talked before. He said that she had a tumor on her brain.
You know something? You turn it. What is that? Is that the... She's got on Jacques Cousteau, so... It's back on now.
Look at pal, if your wife's got a brain tumor, the only way to figure that out is to go to a doctor and have it looked at by a doctor, an MRI or a brain scan.
Say that again?
An MRI or a brain scan, and they can see the tumor.
No, I'm not going to go in. I'm not doing any of that nonsense. If she's talking garbage... There's something wrong with her.
Well, she ain't talking garbage. It actually happened, the stuff she's talking about.
Well, then what is it with her and this Cousteau?
She's trying to drive you nuts with it, man. She thinks the whole thing's a big joke.
Well, that's a son of a bitch, isn't it?
Yeah.
I want to say, Mr. Henry, that I believe that Teddy Kennedy was a good man. I hope he didn't try to run the same game on his family that my wife's running on me. And I am very embarrassed by, you know something, never mind.
Where is she?
She got up and she's in the other room now laughing her ass off. I can see her, look at that. She's got a towel over her mouth and she's laughing herself. She's going to, you know what you're going to do is you'll defecate in your dress.
Oh, come on. All right. Thank you very much.
Well, wait a minute. You can't have me on your program without giving me an opportunity to redeem my reputation in some way.
Well, sir, how are you going to redeem your reputation? I got 30 seconds. Your wife talked you into believing she had a brain tumor because she's watching some stuff about the suffrage movement and repeating it to you. You didn't know anything about it.
Well, what white man over the age of 60 is going to know anything about that?
What white man, huh?
And that's not race. Well, you look at that. She was let... Turn it off! Let me... Here.
Bastard from a basket.
Now that I keep that in a I keep that on a recorder. Yeah, she turned it down again. She's laughing.
Mr. Bonafide, thank you very much. I'm going to have to go someplace else to get the lowdown on what a family deals with when they're talking about somebody having a brain tumor.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, that's right, man. Because you came on here with a story, and what's that bastard from a basket?
That is a recording from the movie There Will Be Blood, and I keep that on a recorder on my desk when my wife begins to do what she's doing now, which is watch the Jack Cousteau show. I simply hit the button.
Bastard from a basket!
And she knows what she's done.
She knows what she's done.
She's sitting over there right now laughing. You know, it's a good thing we put... She thinks it's funny.
So you guys ran a game on me.
I didn't run any game on you. You're the talk show host.
You guys call me up with some story about brain cancer. Hello?
Prize fights are coming on.
All right, thanks a lot for your call.
Hey, that's what he said.
Well, you know what, man? He may have said it, but baby, it wasn't anywhere near the truth.
But what about the fact she's talking all kind of garbage?
What garbage was she talking? I told you today's the 89th anniversary of the suffrage movement, getting the damn right to vote. That whole thing I told you about, that night of terror, that happened. That woman's talking about it, and this guy's so stupid, he thinks she's got a brain tumor and she's making it up.
What about this?
Basket!
Will you get out of here with it? 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We better come back with something more substantial than some guy and his wife, and they're watching Jacques Cousteau. Anyway, Governor Sanford, you remember him? He was the governor of South Carolina. He says that he's not going to resign. Does anybody really care whether he stays or whether he goes? No. Have at it, Mark. Good luck, man. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Phil, and welcome back to our program. And at the top of the hour, we'll cover the whole story of the lady with the scarf in the courtroom. It's important stuff. I like stories like that because it has to do with somebody's religion, and it has to do with someone practicing their religion. And if you called them a Christian, why, hell, I bet you I'd have a full board of calls from people saying, that poor put-upon woman, but she's Muslim. Aha. And I wonder what the Christians think about that one. Like I told you, I got nothing against any religion, but I will tell you this from the bottom of my heart. The Christians who go on about freedom of religion in this country only mean freedom for one religion, and that's Christianity. They got nothing, no love in their hearts, man, for Islam or anything else. They're talking about a state-sponsored religion, a borderline theocracy, and that's all that they're talking about. So I will define those big words later on. In fact, I'm not even sure I know what they mean. Here is Scott in Boston. Scott, what's on your mind tonight?
Good morning, Mr. Henry. How are you? I'd like to discuss Edward Kennedy, his death. I've lived in Massachusetts all my life, unfortunately, and he's been the only senator I've ever known. Senator Kennedy's done irreparable harm to Massachusetts and America. He's brought homosexual and lesbian rights to Massachusetts. Him and Barney Frank have made Massachusetts a homosexual outpost and have perverted the nation. He brought civil rights to millions of blacks and Hispanics throughout America, but in the process, sir.
And you're a crank, and you've called this show before, and you're no funnier today than you were the first time you called, man. So get lost. Thanks so much. Thank you. Great screening job, bud.
Well, I thought the guy sounded suspicious.
Well, then what did you let him on the air? I've heard that guy. That's the second time he's called the show. He's full of he's full of himself. He's probably a dyed-in-the-wool advocate for man-boy love. And thank you very much for your call, sir. All right. South Carolina Governor Mark Sanford rebuffed his lieutenant governor's call to resign on Wednesday, saying he will not be railroaded out of office and plans to finish the last 16 months of his term. Sanford returned from a nearby bar. No, he returned from a nearly week-long disappearance in June to admit an affair with an Argentine woman. And if that wasn't shocking enough... No, he just admitted an affair with an Argentine woman, a revelation that led to questions about the legality of his travel on state, private, and commercial planes, not to mention the fact that he's one of these Bible-toting Republicans who believes in family values and all that other marvelous stuff. And when he finally does bust up those family values, like taking a meat cleaver to a side of beef, then he's got some other rationalization and excuse that he uses. And we're all supposed to just kind of follow along. And I guess he thinks he's going to keep his political career alive. And you know what? He's got a half a chance. You want to know why? Because it's the Republican Party, and they need everybody. They need every swing and you know what they can get. Because they ain't got anybody anymore. All of these guys that have been hanging their hat on a family values ticket, which is the sole reason why the Republicans have not been able to get elected dog catcher lately. The only guys they got left are these guys. Never should have gone down that road, man. And you, Steele, after you get your lecture on what it is to be a black man from Keith Obersturmfuhrer, you better whip some shape into some of these thick-headed jackasses in your party and tell them, look, we gotta jettison something here. Do you understand? It isn't just a matter of reasserting our voice and reasserting our message. If it was just a matter of us reasserting our voice and reasserting our message, well, we've been doing that, man. We've been reasserting our voice and we've been reasserting our messages, okay? Now, if comes 2010 and things are still just as ugly as they were in 2008, you guys are going to have, well, I don't even know. I think it'll be too late for you by then. At a news conference hours after Lieutenant Governor Andre Bauer called for him to step down, Sanford said the people of South Carolina want to move past the scandals. Is that right? Well, maybe they do in South Carolina. And I think that's a great place for you. If they like you in South Carolina, that's a good thing, Governor Sanford. If you think you got some kind of a national platform, if you believe you have a future in national politics, brother, number one, no, you don't. Number two, there may be a whole lot of Republicans blowing a lot of smoke up your skirt, getting you to believe that. But then again, you're a member of a party that is shrinking with every passing minute. Bauer and Sanford are Republicans who have served together for two terms but were elected separately and have never been friends. Some Republicans have been reluctant to seek Sanford's resignation or impeachment because they do not want to give Bauer what would amount to a long-term tryout for the job. They don't want you in there, Bauer, so... House Republicans are expected to discuss this week what it would take to impeach Sanford. Now, that would be a step in the right direction. Start divesting yourself of these clowns. And when I say clown, man, I mean I underline clown with the big shoes. These guys do nothing but make you cats into a laughingstock. Sex offenders challenge a child safety ordinance. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And the lady with the scarf on her head. All of that ahead here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.